Welcome, everybody, to the latest installation of me babbling. So, actually, it's interesting I said that, because it's related to the topic I wanted to talk about today. I'll tell you the topic, and then I'll go back all the way to how we got here. I want to talk about programming life, which more or less means programming the brain. Now, in reality, life is a complicated set of events and situations which are not obvious. And sometimes we take many, many years to understand how things play out, to understand how events in the past are affecting us in the present. Now, that's most obvious when one speaks about childhood trauma, that we have some trauma in our childhood that affects us very much when we are adults, but we're not aware of it consciously, because it's something that has affected us so deeply, basically at the core of our consciousness, that we accept it as a given. It becomes a truth in our lives that we don't question, because we're not even aware of how it became a truth in our life. In other words, it's something that was given to us by our upbringing, and something which we embraced and accepted, but we are not completely aware of how it got there. And therefore, we don't really think about it unless we focus our attention, focus our awareness, and understand something's not right. Things that should be fine are not fine. Troubles and obstacles are there that should not be there. Why? So we put on our Sherlock Holmes cap and we start to investigate, and then we understand after quite some time that it came from this event in our childhood, and then we do something to heal that. That is a very important aspect of how we have come to be what we are today. The way in which we were programmed in our childhood. Very important aspect of our conditioning. And this word, conditioning, is really significant. You may know ladies use hair conditioner, or we speak of the condition of our automobiles, or we even speak of our physical condition. It's a word that describes the health of our hair or our car or our bodies. So the process of conditioning is very important to understand and be aware of, because when you go through a process to bring yourself from point A to point B or beyond, the point you are or the point you attain, point B, for example, can only be understood in terms of the process which brought you there. So So understanding our conditioning is essential for understanding who we are, what we are, and how we have gotten ourselves where we are right now. Now, programming and conditioning are not exactly the same thing, although they share certain elements. For example, I can become conditioned to violence in the world. If I watch TV, if I read the news, filled with violence, filled with people being hurt, animals being hurt, buildings being destroyed. And so all of this conditions me. Let's say, I'll give you an example. You're in a family environment that's peaceful, loving, kind, concerned. And somebody walks in and smashes you on the head. The contrast between the loving, peaceful environment and this sudden, unexpected, violent act is very stark, extreme. It's an extreme contrast. So the impact of this event is enormous. This is how childhood conditioning happens. You've got, for example, a little baby or a small child who's basically living in a fantasy world, a great imagination. Things are fine, all is well. Mommy and daddy are taking care of me, and so on. And then something happens. A parent does something harsh or insensitive, or a friend or whatever. And because of the extreme between the peaceful childhood life and the event that just took place, it very deeply impacts us. The extreme nature of the contrast is what makes impact. If you consider how we are being conditioned by TV, movies, media, where there's this violence continuously, the news being pumped at us, we become insensitive. It doesn't impact us as much. Kind of like when you eat a potato chip. You know. First chip, big extreme from no potato chip to potato chip. Extreme difference. And we go, wow! Or any food you like, ice cream, anything. But the more you eat it, the more you become conditioned. And the extreme nature of the initial reaction reduces. Until finally you become so desensitized to the taste, you're just putting stuff in your mouth, you don't even taste it anymore. Your mind is somewhere else. So violence is like that. Anger is like that. Hatred is like that. Even terrorism, which was supposed to make a big deal dent, is like that. Everything is like that. When we become conditioned by something, it no longer affects us as it used to. So consider life. We are becoming increasingly conditioned by a world that's ruled by technology, by an easy existence, in the sense of If you want food, you just go to a store. I mean, think about that. Just that one event. You want food, you just walk to the nearest store or you order it online and it's there. All packaged, even prepared. I mean, you can get an entire meal like that and you just put it in the microwave. Worst invention ever, but okay. A microwave, you put it in there and in 5 minutes, zappo bango, you can eat it. And so you become conditioned to ease that. But this conditioning disconnects one from the existence around one. You no longer have the connection to earth or the air or the growth of the plants in the environment. You can live in a city of concrete and avoid all of this nature completely. Technology allows us to interact in social media, interact with telecommunications, like we're doing right now. We don't need to worry all that much about how to connect or even what to wear or how to look or what to do or to know the niceties of the interaction. We are becoming conditioned to not having to be in the same physical locality. There may be reasons for it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what's happening in the world. We are conditioned to that ease. We are conditioned to be separated from the reality of the physical world. I mean, think about it. 2 days ago, a monster chunk of Antarctica just broke away and is floating away, wherever it's floating. And we're conditioned. We've already accepted we're destroying the world and there's really nothing we can do about it because nobody gives a damn really ultimately if it means that they're going to lose money. So we're conditioned to it. Yep. Another problem. Yep. I read an article by these naturist scientists who are saying that we are very close to having a mass extinction on a level unseen since the asteroid hit that destroyed the dinosaurs. Species of life are dying off left and right. Because we are destroying the habitat of these creatures. And we may say, we don't need them. We don't eat them. What do they give us? And so we have like a genocide against creatures. So we are very quickly being conditioned by dullness. That we no longer understand what's going on. And if we intellectually think we understand, we say, what can I do about it anyway? I can't worry about this all the time. Or we hold up placards and march up and down. Just think about this. I have thought about this a lot. This is not the point of this lecture. This is just the introduction. I remember the last time I was in Russia, 2011, in the spring. It was very traumatic for me, the last lecture I gave in Moscow. It was traumatic. I've talked about this. And just think about it. 6 years I haven't been there. I'm giving lectures here with Russian on one side, English on the other, and in 6 years I have not been in Russia. that last lecture when I looked out into that audience, and there was like people in the back who were talking, and it was a great social environment where they could see friends they have not seen in a long time. And that was more important than what I was saying, because after all, what I was saying, they heard before. Somewhere they knew it already. But this friend they haven't connected with was right there. This was going on in the back of the room. I'm not complaining about that. I know that might sound strange. But I was observing that. And it hit me. Here I am, I'm just talking. And I'm saying something. It's like a pattern. It's like a program. In fact, we call it a program. I have these like topics. I talk about them. And you come and you listen. And then you go home. So I was watching that. That I'm in a program that has very little value as it is. It's words. It's theory. Right now, I'm talking to you. Words. Concepts. Theories. It doesn't really mean it's true unless you've experienced it. Again, I usually only talk about my experience. So I wanted to share this. So I'm looking out there. I got really depressed. I had a hard time even finishing that lecture because deep down I was very impressed. Depressed. I was impressed by how depressed I was because I very rarely get depressed. I'm not a person who generally gets depressed. But then I was really depressed. And the music, got so depressed with it. I mean, what was the point, really? And the really important thing was the interaction. I saw it. The interaction had value. The human connection. And I was gonna, that next day, fly off. So here I am now, I'm talking again, but you know, I don't see you. It's not like in the old days when I had like groups of people on my screen too. You know, when I used to broadcast with my own server, I could arrange many different connections and I saw an audience. I could talk to an audience. Now, I have no audience. I'm looking at the camera and right under the camera is my own picture. So I'm talking to myself, or rather, I'm watching myself talking to an audience. So because of that, I can kind of share what it means to be in the audience. Because just like you, I'm looking at me. That's pretty bizarre, but it's what's going on. Now, I can actually feel very lost. Do you know before I'm going to give these lectures every it's 2 weeks only. I can't imagine doing it regularly. I feel lost. I'm wandering around. What am I going to talk about? Why do I do this anyway? I mean, really, what's the point? So then I had a real difficult week. This last week, very difficult. Not physically difficult. Not difficult because of anything that happened. What happened that made it difficult was I started watching this video about the life of Rudolf Steiner. It's on YouTube, 3 hours long. It's about his life, his history, his philosophy, and all of the things he created. And some of them not even directly. His educational philosophy and technique. And don't forget, all of this was developed in the early 1900s. His educational understanding of what it means to educate children is totally enlightened. To this day, you cannot find a better educational system. Absolutely enlightened. My opinion and the opinion of many people, even in conversations with God, God supposedly, God in quotes, says, you have the best educational system, not perfect, but the best on earth is Steiner's system. And he had this way of gardening, of farming, of feeling the interaction between the earth and the farmer and the animals and the plants. A very wonderful biodynamic method of farming that's absolutely sustainable, does no harm, and grows the food you need. And then you've got medicinal things, various medicines, products which are good for you, soaps or whatever. You know, Veleda, very famous. There's others. And at one point in this video, there's this person who has an institute in Upper New York State, which is north of New York City, where they are using the techniques of Steiner to help people become really wonderful versions of themselves. And I heard him speaking about how Steiner learned from Goethe how to understand what really is the point of philosophy. And I'm listening to that man express. I was dumbfounded. It was spectacular. I said, I'm never going to be able to say anything as good as that. And when you think about it, this is talk. Okay, talk is important, especially in social interaction. But I'm talking to a two-dimensional screen in front of me, to this guy with a green shirt who's waving his arms around. What is the point? The finger again, look out. What is the point? Why am I doing it? I know why I'm doing it. I want to be of service. I like to be of service. It's, for me, a very important way in which I express myself. To be of service to you. It makes me feel I have some, not only value, but I am interacting in a manner which is, how to say, worth my time and space on this planet. So, yet, I'm not satisfied. I'm not satisfied. And I still have this, like, problem with feeling lost. Why? Hard to say. And yet, after watching that video, easy to say. Because that whole thing that Steiner brought connects with reality, connects with people working together. He has one aspect of his organization where they help people who are so developmentally challenged, who have handicaps, disabilities. And they were interviewing these people who were cooking or making pottery or working in the garden. I mean, frankly, I was like stunned. I mean, like that man actually did something of value. Because he's helping in such a deep way, people. Okay. Some very unenlightened people who think of themselves as great religionists would say, maybe. Oh, this is welfare, common mundane welfare activity or common mundane work. No. Because it's within the environment of this enlightened philosophy of caring for life. Caring for people, caring for animals, caring for plants, caring for the environment, caring for Earth. I mean, what else is there? If you live a life, for example, where the whole point is to die and go back to Godhead, that if that's like the goal and that's your life, you're just pointed towards that goal. And, you know, you can add on benefit by bringing others with you to help you get there. Then somehow or another, this existence we're in becomes an illusion, becomes a burden, becomes not important. That's an illusion. Because everything is energy. I just heard a scientist say that an atom is 99% energy, more than that. And an insignificant amount of it is a speck of matter. And we basically concentrate all of our existence on the speck and not onto the energy. We call all this stuff matter, but 99% of all this stuff is energy. Whose energy? Energy of God. So God gave us 99% of his energy that's everywhere in existence. And we're concerned with the 1% that is these specks stuck together to create matter. And then we don't care about that even. The reason why Steiner's contribution, this massive contribution to existence in this human form, is so significant is because everything he did was supported by and had as a foundation the axiomatic truth of the living energy that exists, the living energy that is making up reality. God's energy. The energy of the Supreme, divine energy. To see the divinity flowing through the disabled, those who are challenged, the ignorant, or the animals. You may think animals are ignorant, but only if you have no idea about these creatures, because they're incredibly aware. I mean, okay, sure. They like to eat grass, let's say. But look at a person. They like to eat food and go on Facebook, Snapchat. We each have our characteristics. That does not speak to our awareness. It speaks to externals. We don't actually know about the awareness of different animals. I like one point from the video where they were talking about the horns of the cows and how most farmers take away the horns. Why? Because the horns contain all of the sensory expansion of the cow's brain that makes it very sensitive to its environment and understand fully its environment. And when they take away the horns, the cow becomes dull, unaware of its environment, and doesn't even care anymore. And they were proving that in the video when they're the cows with no horns you can come right up to, or cows can be jammed together in a factory barn, and they don't object. The cows with horns, you have to keep a 3-meter distance away from them, because as soon as you enter into their space, they move. They are aware of you entering their space, and they move. And they will not, under any circumstances, be pushed into a confined environment. All of a sudden, that dull creature becomes much more aware, even that we can see, and we're pretty dull. I mean, as a species, we are very dull. I mean, we have no clue about what's happening in our world. We just go right ahead, pollute, destroy, rape, exploit. We've been doing it throughout time. This is the history of human beings. Nice earth given, beautiful in all ways, and a human being comes around and just chops it to pieces. So we are unaware. Animals, if you know them, have all kinds of awareness. Each one of these creatures are really interesting in their own way. So a real symbiotic, aware, enlightened relationship that exists in the world comes when you include the creatures of this world. You include the plants and the growth, the trees of this world. You include the microcosmic structure of all the roots and all of the existence that's permeating the entire planet. So what Steiner did was he gave a package. Package deal, the whole thing. Here's this package, it's called life. And then figured out how to do it. The guy was such a genius, he figured out how to work with the land. He figured out how to grow food. He figured out what's medicinally good. He figured out the cycles of the moon and the cosmos and how the whole, all the planets relate to the what's happening on the earth, how energy is changing, flowing, transforming. It's a package deal. And the people, how they can relate and what they are and how they can grow and how they can learn. And when they learn the respect for life when they're young, how the world transforms later on. That has value. All of this in the context of divine energy. What an incredible person. And then there's me, babbling, like I said at the very beginning of this lecture. Hi. And I get depressed. And that's why I was depressed in Moscow. Because I'm a practical person. I'm an action man. This talking jazz, 5%, 10% of my personality. Not even the top of the pyramid of personality. It's just some small aspect. Way more important, creating a perfect symbiotic relationship between the cosmos, the earth, the nature, the environment, between people and animals, people and plants, people and the earth, people and the cosmos. This is the 90%. So I went to the deities, my deities, day before yesterday. And I said, I'm lost. I'm a mess. I mean, everybody does that. Help me, save me. I'm so fallen. I get it, okay. But I came in like, well, what do I do about it? What should I do? And they said, yeah, I actually hear what they say. Can you imagine that? I must be completely an illusion. They said, well, tell everybody. Share that with them. I mean, if you think about it, somebody's broadcasting. This is a broadcast. I have no idea who's watching. Who, what they say, what they think, I have no idea. So I have to be careful to not say anything which is outside of the expectation of a broadcast. Because there'll be comments. Comments. This guy doesn't know what he's talking about. This guy's an idiot. Throw this guy out the window, etc. Comments. Because that's what people do. So I have to worry about that. Didi said, why? If why you're depressed is the lack of personal awareness, of connection, then why do you have to be something what you're not? Why do you have to be a broadcaster who's worried about how it looks? Okay, I worry. I mean, I put that thing there so you can't see this mess behind it. Not so bad, but anyway. I put the plant there to pretend like there's some life in here. When this is over, that goes back on the wall. That plant goes back over there. And then that fills up with papers and junk and all that jazz. That's the truth, the reality of this room. So, okay, I told you I'm lost. And as soon as I start interacting with all of you that I can't even see, the energy of sharing starts to flow because it's the 99% of existence. It's just flowing. It's just flowing. That's not philosophy. That's not theory. That's flowing energy. Because if every single atom is practically pure energy at its essence, for the vast majority of its being, then an energy that's transmitted into any particular atom is shared according to the power that's placed into that conduit or circuit. So let's say you're over there in Vladivostok, about as far away as you could possibly be. And you connected to that sound or my intention, and then the energy just makes that thread that finds its way through all the atoms to your consciousness, to each consciousness. So you can imagine it. It's like this vast network of strings going out everywhere of this energy connection. And then we're connected. But I can't talk forever. I can only talk now. I mean, I even have a hard time talking. So then, what there is afterwards, I get lost again. So I really wish there was like connection. I really wish there was like this environment. This environment where we cared about people. We took care even of the old people or the people who are disabled, or we cared about making the food in a sustainable way, continuous way that makes us healthy, that's not destructive. That we did something of value as a group, as a community, as people, wherever we may be. Not everybody has to be in one place, in many places. I know Dripta's doing that in his dacha in near Moscow. Great! I mean, do that wherever you are. Make little connections. Use your awareness. Don't be overwhelmed with philosophy. Get into existence. Who cares about all these philosophical beliefs if they don't translate into action which represents the belief? What's the use of a great philosophy if you don't understand the energy of God right in front of you. Indeed, you use that philosophy to reject the importance of the energy of God right in front of you. We require to have a living understanding of existence that starts with ourselves and then includes others, accommodates others, embraces others, embraces other energy. This is actually a great way for me not to be depressed, to be involved in that. But, you know, how? I don't know. So I feel good now. See, I'm happy. I smile. But I know you get the point because you feel the same way. You think about it. Each and every one of you think about it. And you realize just tippy-typing on all of the forms of shared media. After a while, who cares? You know, I never even liked academia. I never liked it. My university life was basically a social experience, and then I just did like this academic junk because I was supposed to. I don't like simply theories. I like theories that go towards action. Theories which build, theories which construct, theories which resolve, theories which heal ultimately. So if there is to be a revolution of whatever it is, it can only happen in this way. I'm not going to go off and join a Steiner community. Don't worry, not going to happen. But my respect is enormous because of this, more than anyone else I've ever seen, incredible accomplishment. Not just because it ends up with being a certificate on the wall, you accomplished more than anyone else. No, but because people are living and feeling very safe and secure and feeling very positive in this world that's just dominated by violence and negativity nowadays. Can we do that too? I don't know. I'm not Steiner. Maybe I can do some stuff. Have no clue. You want to come on over here to Florida? Okay, bring a pile of bucks. Get yourself a visa. We'll get someplace nearby and we'll develop all kinds of stuff. I'm really good at it. Don't worry. Everybody I know is over there. So do it over there. I can video conference into that environment. We can talk. We can do. I don't mind. I don't have to just give lectures. I can do things, you know, help you in little particular ways when you want in your... If you're actually doing something, don't ask me how to do it and expect that kind of connection. You already know how. Everybody knows how. It's natural. Dripta didn't need to ask what to do. He invited people over. They're doing stuff. It's natural. When people get together, they figure it out. You're all smart. You know what to do. It's just a question of desire, of want. That's all. You cultivate. You want to grow a cabbage, you cultivate cabbage. You know how to do it. Anybody can do it. Whether you do it well or you don't do it well, that takes practice. So in any case, yeah, sure. I can help. But I'm not like the solution. You're the solution. I'm a resource you can tap into if you need it. I'm available. Easy to connect to. Figure out where. I've had people say, oh, I couldn't figure out how to connect to you. You got to be kidding me. What are you like? In the Middle Ages? Google search. I'm everywhere. contact forms, at least 10 of them. Okay. I said my piece for the day.